The message you're about to hear was preached at Oncarrig Baptist Church, located in Limerick City, Ireland. You're welcome to visit our website at acbc.ie, where you'll find loads of information and resources. You are also welcome to visit one of our weekly meetings on Sundays or Wednesdays. We look forward to seeing you and hope you enjoy this message from the Word of God. So Galatians 6:7, it says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." So you can be seated. Now our theme this year is reaping the harvest. There are many kinds of harvests. People harvest corn, they harvest wheat, they harvest apples, they harvest carrots, they harvest all kinds of fruit and veg. But all harvests begin with planting or sowing seeds. And you sow what you want to grow. And that's a good, you can remember that. So you sow what you want to grow. Sow what you want to grow. So, and if you want a harvest of corn, you don't plant wheat seeds. If you want a harvest of carrots, you don't plant broccoli seeds. The law of sowing and reaping that's in our physical world is just as much a law of the soul as it is a law of the soil and on the earth we live on. And this morning, I titled my sermon, "The Harvest is Coming," or "How to Turn Your Life to God." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love. Thank you, Lord, for giving us instructions through your word. We ask that you would bless your word. Help us to understand it. Help us to get wisdom from it this morning. Lord, we need to hear from you, and I ask that you would speak to hearts today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, I was recently reading about a godly man named Robert J. Little. He had a large radio program. It was said that he was a giant when it came to the scriptures. And a lot of Christians respected and revered this man. I'd never heard of him. But it was said that his knowledge of the scriptures was encyclopedic. He knew everywhere things were. He knew the Bible front and back really well. Often people would test him, and he never failed. He was able to answer their questions, tell them where a verse is, describe something. And one day, even quote a lot of verses. And one day in his later years, an elderly brother came up to him after a church service, and he said, "Brother Little, I wish I had your knowledge of the Bible." And Mr. Little looked at the man for a moment, and I'll tell you what he said at the end of the message. But here in Galatians 6, we find the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is relating the principle of sowing and reaping to the church in Galatia. And he tells them in Galatians, if you have your Bible open, in Galatians 6:7, it says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." So we can see first that we reap what we sow. We're going to reap what we sow. And the Apostle Paul, he begins telling them in the verse, he says, "Don't be deceived." And that word deceived, that's a Greek word, planeo, which means to cause to wander or to go astray. So the Apostle Paul was warning these believers not to go astray. And there's a constant threat in the Christian life to go astray. And here the Apostle Paul is about to give them instructions to prevent their lives from going astray, to help them to keep on the straight and narrow path, help them to keep in the way that God wants them to go. And he starts by telling them, he says, "Be not deceived, don't go astray." Then he continues, and he tells them that God's not mocked. And that word mocked, in Greek, it literally means to turn up one's nose at somebody. And the Apostle Paul is right. So here the Apostle Paul, he's writing to Christians. And, you know, Christians turn their nose up at God. Well, Christians mock God all the time. They mock him by turning their nose up at his word. They don't take his word seriously. They don't take his word literally. They don't revere God's word as the words from their creator, the one that gave them eyes and ears, the one that causes the food to grow, that causes the sun to come up and set, to raise and set each day. And many people don't believe that God's preserved his words, that the Bible plainly teaches in Psalm 12, verses 6 and 7. It says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. So the Bible teaches that God is going to preserve his words. People will say, well, it was written that way in the originals. Well, we don't have the originals, but we do have God's promise to preserve his word. And we can be confident that God has preserved his word, and we can find it in our world today. And we went over that. And it's in English. I believe it's the King James Bible. In other languages, it's other Bibles. But people refuse to believe that people refuse to believe that God expects a Christian to live holy and many other things. The unsaved refuse to believe a salvation is by grace through faith alone. In in Ephesians 2:8, it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And then Paul continues saying in Galatians, in your Bible, in Galatians 6:7, it says, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, like I said at the beginning, if you sow corn, you're going to reap corn. If you sow apple trees, you're going to reap apples. And Paul is telling us that the same principle in nature applies to us spiritually. We're going to reap what we sow. Jeremiah 7, I don't know where I got Romans, but Jeremiah 7, verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So the Bible tells us, now at the beginning of Galatians, it says, be not deceived. But here it tells us that our heart is deceived. Our heart is deceitful above all things. So we can't really follow our heart. We need to rely on the word of God. But our heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? So our hearts are deceived. They're desperately wicked. So we're to be not deceived. So it's good to know that. And then God says in the next verse, I, the Lord, try the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. So here we see the law of sowing and reaping here as well. And so God's going to give to us according to the fruit of our doings. And we can flaunt God's laws in his face. We can think that we're getting away with something. But the Bible says that God is not mocked. We are going to reap what we sow. So we reap what we sow first. Second, there are two categories of seeds. Now, my wife took a foraging class a long time ago, and she discovered in that class that there are some weeds that are beneficial, that are edible, medicinal, and for many of the healthy and edible plants, there is another plant that looks like it, but there's a slight difference. And this is especially true with mushrooms. Some look very similar, but they're poisonous. There are plants like this green one over here that looks, if you now we see them together and they look different. But if you were out in the wild, you might not notice the difference unless you know what to look for, unless you know what leaves to look for. You know, some grow some grow in a similar pattern. Others, you know, they grow, you know, maybe they have five leaves instead of four, and they're poisonous. But if you don't know how to determine what's right and wrong, you're better off not even trying, not even just walking out in the woods and finding a plant. Wow, that looks like a carrot. You know, maybe I'll try to eat it. You know, you might not make it home that night, you know. Or if you make it home, you might have real bad problems. But the unsaved world is that way. They don't have any way to determine good and bad. Do what thou wilt is their theme in the Bible. But the Bible says that wide is the way that leadeth to destruction. But God tells a Christian, he gives us information, and he tells us what things are dangerous, what things are good in the world. He tells us what's right and wrong. Yet, you know, there are preachers in the world that they tell their people that they can live how they want because they're under grace. And they cause their people to hinder their spiritual growth or to live their lives in spiritual destruction. And there are Christians as well who ignore God's warnings. But Galatians 6 verse 8 says, "He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." So God tells us what those plants are. He gives us a basis. He gives us, he says that there's something that you can sow to your flesh or you can sow to your spirit. And if you sow to your flesh, you're going to reap corruption. If you sow to your spirit, you're going to reap life everlasting. You're going to reap eternal rewards. And first it talks about sowing to the flesh. Now, sowing to the flesh is to do things that makes your flesh happy, things that make your body happy, your flesh, and some of those things. Galatians 5, if you turn to Galatians 5:19, it's just a page over. So we're in Galatians 6. Just go to 5:19, and in 5:19-21. And we've gone over this before, but we'll just list this again. But here in Galatians 5:19, it talks about the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. So here it talks about the works of the flesh. And now in the past, I was telling my wife this yesterday, or a couple of days ago, maybe it was yesterday. But I've always read this, you know, because it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. I always thought of it as the fruit of the flesh because it talks about the fruit. But it doesn't say the fruit of the flesh. It says the works of the flesh, which is the fruit of sin. But you have the works of the flesh. And it starts out, it says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery." So adultery, which is having physical relations, if you're married, having physical relations outside of the marriage vows. Fornication, any physical relations with another person outside or before being married. There's also uncleanness. Uncleanness is impurity. It's a quality, or impurity and quality, to be impure physically or morally. So uncleanness is impurity physically or morally. Lasciviousness, what is that? That's a strange big word. Well, lasciviousness is unbridled lust. So to have unbridled lust is to be lasciviousness, is to be lascivious. Next verse 20, it says idolatry. Idolatry sows to the flesh. When we're worshiping idols or placing anything above God, it's sowing to the flesh. Witchcraft is added to the list. And witchcraft indulges in all these things. And whether you're a white witch or a black witch, you're still a witch, and God's against it. God's not for Harry Potter, but witchcraft is the works of the flesh. It uses the works of the flesh. It sows to the flesh. Hatred sows to the flesh. Hatred is not forgiving, but holding hatred in yourself against other people. And that's sowing to the flesh. Variance, that's, variance it's a difference that produces dispute or controversy. So variance is it produces dispute or controversy, which sows to the flesh. Emulations is a desire for superiority, and that sows to the flesh. Wrath sows to the flesh. Passionate anger, strife, contention in anger sows to the flesh. Seditions, which is division, it sows to the flesh. Heresies sows to the flesh. You know, listening to pastors who preach heresy we're sowing to the flesh. If we listen to heresy, it's sowing to the flesh. Any opinion that contradicts Bible, heresy is any opinion that contradicts biblical doctrines is heresy. And whether that preacher or that church preaches the gospel or not shouldn't be our determining factor. Well, there's a lot of people that preach the gospel, and that's fine, but preaching the gospel isn't the only determining factor. There's a lot more to the Bible than just the gospel. And there, you know, I've had people say, well, you know, you can, heresy, listening to preachers, we're sowing to the flesh when we do that. Galatians 5:21 says envying. So the desire to discourage somebody who's more fortunate than us is sowing to the flesh. Murders, killing people, sows to the flesh. Drunkenness, drinking is sowing to the flesh. Revelings is also sowing to the flesh. Revelings are feasts or drinking parties, So, and you know, we may have grace and liberty in Christ, but if we're sowing to the flesh, the Bible says we are going to reap corruption. Maybe you're still saved, yeah, but if you're sowing to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. And the definition of corruption is depravity. You're going to be depraved. It's wickedness. You're going to be wicked. It's perversion or deterioration of moral principles. It's the loss of purity or integrity. And when the Bible says that we're going to reap corruption, we're going to reap depravity, wickedness, perversion of our moral principles, the loss of purity or even our integrity. And all of these things and anything like it sows to the flesh. These are dangerous seeds that are going to corrupt us spiritually. But then it also talks about sowing to the Spirit. So you have sowing to the flesh, and then you have sowing to the Spirit. Galatians 6:8 says, he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So then the Apostle Paul, he writes about sowing to the Spirit. And sowing to the Spirit, it's a two-part effort. You have to reduce sowing to the flesh, and you also have to maximize sowing to the Spirit. And in some ways that we can sow to the Spirit. Now, one of the main ways to sow to the Spirit is found in Matthew 4:4. And Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And the word of God is essential to the Christian's life and to sowing to the Spirit. Now, Professor Horner's Bible reading schedule, maybe it's too astronomical for you. Try it for a month, but it takes an hour, 30 minutes in the morning, 30 minutes at night. You can do the hour in one whole. But whatever you decide, you ought to read. But whatever you decide to do, whether you want to use it, or you want to use something else, maybe have something that you like to use. But we need to read, or we need to listen to the Bible on our own. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And it's essential that we're in the Word of God every day. And when we're in the Word of God, those are the best. Those that we are sowing to our spirit. That is the best sowing that we can do. We also sow when we pray. Get in contact with your Heavenly Father and praying for others in the Spirit is where our spiritual power and our understanding of the Word of God comes from. Somebody might say, well, I don't understand the Word of God. Well, pray, pray, ask God. God wrote it. You can talk to Him. You have direct access. If you're saved, if you're born again, you have direct access to God. You can ask God for help to understand, and the Holy Spirit will teach you. The Bible says that maybe you're not ready for this teaching. Maybe there's something else, but God's going to wait on it. Who knows? But God usually, I'd say 99 to 100% of the time, God will give you understanding if you pray and ask Him. And praying is important. It's important that we get in touch with our Heavenly Father and plug in, getting access to the power that He has, the power of the Holy Spirit. And these first two, they're probably the essential core of the Christian life. Without these two, you're going to become an unbalanced Christian. If all you do is come to church once a week or twice a week, you're not going to get very far in your Christian life. I don't put aside church either, because we need to attend church as well. Attending church, that we sow to the Spirit when we attend church service. Church is an essential supplement to your prayer and devotions and your personal walk with God. And every part of the service is important. You know, when people come in early or before the service, you know, if we have visitors or something, imagine you're a visitor and you come in and you see like one person sitting in the seats because the other 10, 15 people haven't showed up yet. You know, you come in, there's one person in the seat and there's the pastor up there. You know, they wonder, am I alone? Am I the only one here? They get uncomfortable. That's not a good first impression. But if we can be here, you know, I realize we run late and things happen. But if we can be here to greet visitors, that's really good. And that's important. The songs are important. Where they're spiritual, they sow to the heart. They sow to the heart. They're preparing our heart for the message, the songs that we sing. The announcements are important. They let us know and remind us of the things that happen. And let us know when there's fellowship opportunities coming up. The preaching is important because it gives us understanding into the insight of the Word of God and how to apply it to our lives. You know, there may be a verse that we're struggling with, and you may hear in a message and say, "Wow, you know, I never saw that there, but there it is. It's right there." And you learn something new. The tea time's important. We fellowship. We spend time with one another if we can. After a long week of living in the world, it's good to be around some other Christians and get encouragement from stronger Christians and have the opportunity to encourage weaker Christians, new Christians. But many modern Christians, you know, they get the idea from these neo-evangelicals and TV preachers that they're having church on YouTube or on the God sitting at home in the God channel. But they're never confronted with Christians who have a closer walk with God. They sit at home thinking that they're a spiritual giant and they never really grow. And that's a shame. We ought to be growing. God didn't establish YouTube. He established the church. He established a local called out assembly of baptized, born again believers. And if we're going to sow the right seeds in our lives, we need to be in a sound Bible preaching church. You have the sowing to the Spirit. You can sow to the Spirit by completing the first principles study course. You're getting rooted in the Word of God with doctrinal sound teaching. Next, you sow to the Spirit by listening to sermons by doctrinally sound preachers, not heresy, doctrinally sound preachers. And when we listen to preachers who are not doctrinally sound, we sow corruption to ourselves. And if you want a list of sound preachers, I can recommend a lot live preachers today, preachers that have passed away, and I can give you websites. We have a shelf full of books. I have sermons online. We have a video site. There's no lack of resources. Number D, or letter next one, whatever. Listen to psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And here the Bible says in Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, most of us are addicted. We're addicted to fleshly music. We've developed a taste with it. We grow up. It's all over society. It's all over the world. We've developed a taste for it because it's everywhere. Now, my kids don't like it. And the reason they don't like it, and I didn't say me. I like it. My flesh likes it. My kids don't like it. And the reason they don't like it is because they never developed a taste for it. They like I did when I was growing up, like most of us did. But instead of fleshly songs, we ought to incorporate sacred Christ-like music that teaches sound doctrine and emphasizes the melody and uplifts the spirit. We need to develop a taste for spiritual music, and that will help to sow to our spirit. That helps to sow to the spirit. Sowing to the spirit, we sow to the spirit by spending time with your church family or Christians who hold the same doctrines. People affect people, and if we're going to be like those, and we're going to be like those that we spend the most time with, and we have men's camp, we have the ladies' retreat, we have great opportunities to meet like-minded Christians, and at these events, you'll hear sacred music, you'll hear sound preaching, and it's great opportunities to take advantage of if you can, and that'll help you to sow to your spirit, help sowing to the spirit. Next one, we sow to the spirit by telling others the gospel. And it's a spiritual activity. It's a spiritual war. You're going out and you're engaging in spiritual war. It's not an easy thing, and it's not an easy thing to do because it goes against the flesh. But in going against your flesh, you're killing your flesh by going out and talking to somebody about the gospel. But in killing your flesh and going against the flesh, you're also sowing to your spirit. It's really a twist of your spirituality when you do it. Not a twist, but it really enhances. It really helps when you tell others the gospel. So we sow to the spirit. We also sow to the spirit. You can sow to the spirit by teaching a Bible class, having a Bible study with somebody. But the world's fleshly influence, it's constantly around us. And because of this, because there's a constant fleshly influence around us, it's everywhere. It's on the television. It's in the magazines. And I've talked about it before. But we're constantly being bombarded with sowing to our flesh. And even if we try, even if we refuse to sow to our flesh, you're still going to be sowing to your flesh by default because of the world around us. It's automatic. And so when we miss church, we're sowing to the flesh by default because we're not sowing to the spirit. When we don't pray, we sow to the flesh by default because we're not sowing to the spirit. When we miss the Bible reading, we sow to the flesh by default. When we don't listen to spiritual music, we sow to the flesh by default. When we don't tell others the gospel, we sow to the flesh by default. And because we have to make a conscious effort to sow to the spirit. Sowing to the flesh happens automatically because we live in a fallen world. But sowing to the spirit has to be on purpose. Next, we need to be patient for the harvest. In Galatians 6:9 it says, "And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Now no one plants in a field and expects to reap a harvest the next week. And one of the fundamental laws of sowing and reaping is patience. It takes time for the seed to germinate. If you don't believe me, ask Graham, you know. Although he's got a pretty fast growing thing, but it still takes time. But it takes, for a plant to reach complete maturity, it takes time for the seed to germinate. It takes time to put out your its first little roots and the first shoot that comes up, and then it takes more time for the plant to develop and grow. But one of the requirements is patience. And people will say sometimes, you know, I listened to a heretic and nothing happened to me. I know someone who drinks and still goes to church. People will say, well, I listen to fleshly Christian music, and I still read the Bible. Well, sowing to the flesh is going to hinder your walk with God, and at worst, cause us to fall away. The Bible says, in due season, we shall reap. On the other hand, we need to be patient when we sow to the Spirit. And it takes time. It takes time to grow as a Christian. We may not be ready to do some things or others, but we're not going to see the blessings. We won't see the blessings from reading the Bible right away. It's not going to happen right away. Even this Bible reading schedule, it's probably going to be really difficult when you first try. And if you give it a month, I think you'll like it. You might like it after the first week. I liked it after the first week. Actually, I liked it after the first day. I really enjoyed the different going to reading different parts, and then it was like a big soap opera. You know, you have these, you know, how it's all chopped up and these different stories, and it was like reading a soap opera through the Bible. That's all right. I never liked them, but I can see how that, you know, you got this anticipation. You want to find out, you know, what's happening with Abraham, what's going to happen next week with Job, you know. Anyway, so but you can see how maybe that's how they developed them. They found this Bible reading schedule, and somebody said, hey, we can apply this to a TV program. We don't see the blessings from reading the Bible right away. We don't see the blessings from praying right away. You're not going to see it. The day you pray, all your prayers get answered. That's not going to happen. You're not going to see the blessings You're not going to see blessings by spreading the gospel right away. You're not going to see blessings of listening to spiritual music right away. You're not going to see the blessings of the First Principles Bible course right away. You're not going to see the blessings of faithfully attending church right away. You're not going to see the blessings of listening to doctrinally sound preaching right away. But often, we're in such a hurry. We live in a fast-paced age that encourages us to be impatient. We have smartphones. You can get on the internet, get information right away. We have the internet. We have cars. We have airplanes. We can fly anywhere in a day. We've learned to rush faster than nature itself. But God refuses to be hurried. God's not going to be rushed. He takes his time. Robert Little, that respected Bible scholar, one day in his later years, an elderly man came up to him after a service and said, "Brother Little, I wish I had your knowledge of the Bible." Robert Little looked at him for a moment, and then he said, "My brother, my dear brother, you're too late. In fact, I judge that you're about 50 years too late. If you wanted my knowledge of the Bible, you should have started 50 years ago. I did. I've been studying the Bible diligently and intensively for 50 years, and that's how I gained my knowledge of the Bible. I'm sorry to tell you, my brother, that you can never have my knowledge of the Bible. You've left it for too late." This wisdom was a case of sowing and reaping. Many people quit before they ever get to reap God's blessings. We need to stay in there. And if you keep sowing to the Spirit, if you keep denying the flesh and sowing to the Spirit, the Bible says that in due season we shall reap if we faint not. The harvest is coming. We're going to reap what we sow. There are two categories of seeds. There's the flesh and there's the Spirit. We need to be patient for the harvest. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes this morning. And I'll ask you, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, where are you sowing? Where are you? Obviously, you're here this morning. You're sowing to the Spirit right now, and that's good. That's a great place to be. People that aren't here, they're not. They're sowing to their flesh. But away from church, are you sowing to your Spirit? Are you sowing to the flesh? You know, maybe you're sowing to the Spirit and haven't received blessings in your own timing, and you're getting impatient. You need to stay in there. The Bible promises you will reap if you faint not. There's going to be blessings. A harvest is coming. God promises the harvest is coming. And if you keep sowing, God promises that you'll reap if you keep it up. The most important spiritual sowing anyone can do is to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, it says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And all somebody needs to do if they've never been saved, they just simply need to call out to Christ to save them from hell and to give them the gift of eternal life. And if we call, the Bible says, if we call upon Him, we shall be saved. Now I'm going to pray in a minute. And if God spoke to your heart about sowing to the flesh, about sowing to the Spirit, about being patient for God's timing, or maybe even something I hadn't directly mentioned, I want to pray for you this morning that the Lord would help you. And I won't point anyone out. I won't embarrass you. But with our heads bowed, our eyes closed, no one looking, if you'd like me to pray for you, would you raise your hand? Is there anyone here? The Lord spoke to your heart and you'd like me to pray for you. All right. Anyone else? Okay. You can put your hands down. Thank you for raising your hands and responding to that. And last, you know, have you ever been saved personally? Did the Lord speak to you during the message about your need for salvation? And I want to pray this morning that God would help you to make the right decision about that. Even before you leave, I won't point anyone out. I won't embarrass you. But with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you're not 100% sure you're going to heaven, would you raise your hand? Is there anyone here like that? Put your hands down and let's pray. Father, we thank you for those that raise their hands. And Father, we can all grow.